Are you on edge?
Come on.
We live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs bi-monthly on MaximizeU.life and iTunes. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and courageous conversations about pushing boundaries, exploring our rough edges, and walking between the worlds of what is and what is yet to be. Join me, Sandra Bargeman, on the edge of every day on MaximizeU.life. Hello, everyone. I'm Sandra Bargeman, and welcome to The Edge of Every Day, now at MaximizeU.life. Are you a change maker? Do you walk between worlds, between cultures, between systems? If you answered yes to any of these questions, The Edge of Every Day is the place for you. In a nutshell, this podcast is about pushing boundaries and exploring rough edges. Through conversations and shared stories with friends and colleagues, it's my hope that we can begin to understand our edges. And what I mean by edges is those places where we are fearful, those places where we are resistant to change, those places where paradox and contradicting identities live in our beliefs and in our understandings, both individually and collectively. We live in edgy, challenging times. We cannot keep looking away from the ugly, from the difficult. And silence is no longer an option. Life isn't black or white, it's both, and I want to talk about that. I want to face the tension of paradox, and I want to engage in hard conversations. I want to explore the rough edges between our light-filled brilliance and our dark, shadowy corners, because the more we recognize our own edges and get real about them, the more we can help others to do the same. And that, I fully believe, can help to change the world. So, thanks again for tuning in. In today's episode, we focus in on connection. I am of the strong opinion that so many of the ills we experience in today's world, the dark and truly ragged edges in our world today, are from a lack of connection, a disconnect from ourselves, from each other, from our very home, Mother Earth, and from a far more vast sense of connection to and curiosity about all that is, the great mystery of life. The focus of today's episode is connection in business. Leading business authority and co-author of The Go-Giver, a Wall Street Journal and Business Week best-selling book by Bob Berg, said, "The single greatest people skill in a highly developed and authentic interest in the other person," end quote. In plain terms, that's the skill of connection. Today, we are live in the hive with Amy Lynn Durham, a UC Berkeley certified executive coach, CEO of Create Magic at Work, and as her clients call her, the corporate mystic. In today's episode, we explore how leadership in business is shifting to address that rough edge of connection. So without further ado, it's time to introduce our guest. Amy Lynn Durham is a former corporate executive and a recovering workaholic. She is the CEO of Create Magic at Work, with the vision of transforming workplaces into vibrant hubs of creativity, productivity, and fulfillment. Drawing upon her extensive background in the telecommunications industry, Amy recognized the need for holistic approaches to organizational development and leadership enhancement. Amy works with clients and organizations through workshops, trainings, and individual coaching. Amy is the host of Create Magic at Work podcast and the author of both the prompt journal, Creating Career Magic, and the activity book, Create Magic at Work. Through her multifaceted endeavors, Amy epitomizes the mission of Create Magic at Work to inspire intentional leadership, innovative strategies, and a culture of collaboration, transforming workplaces into thriving environments where magic is not merely a concept, but a tangible reality. Oh, how I love that. Hello, my friend. Hello, Amy Lynn Durham. Welcome to the Edge of Every Day.
Hi, Sandra. Thank you. I'm just excited to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a complete pleasure. I'm so excited to have you on. And I just adore you as a person. You know, I've known you clearly from, yes, clearly listeners, we know each other. This is just me. I just adore Amy. I adore the work that she does. She's had me on as a guest on her podcast. And I just am enamored of all that you're doing. And in a place that is a difficult place to do what you do. It can, as we're well going to talk about, can be resistant. And, you know, I am not in the corporate world. I step into it as needed with clients and into that mindset, but I don't live my day there. So, mm-hmm. And you have your hand on the pulse in a much bigger way than I do. But anyway, before we get going on all of that, we have to do all my little fun beginning of the episode things. I like to share how we know each other. Amy and I met through a group that we are both a part of, Edgewalkers.org, Edgewalkers International. And now they have Edgewalkers Academy. And Amy and I both did the facilitation, Edgewalkers facilitation coaching certification.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how did you discover Edgewalkers?
Yeah. I love Edgewalkers.
We both love Edgewalkers.
Yeah. It's been amazing being a part of Edgewalkers. I discovered Edgewalkers through the spiritual intelligence community.
Okay.
And I think it really just kind of came across my screen. And that's sort of the way the SQ21 community came across as well. Like one day it showed up on my computer.
I love it. Well, I discovered the SQ community through Edgewalkers. The other way, like Cindy Wigglesworth, whom I've had on the show. I met her through an Edgewalkers cafe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Cindy. Yeah, if I go all the way back, I left my corporate job, kind of traveled a little bit, wrote the book, Create Magic at Work, ended up going to UC Berkeley Executive Coaching Institute. That was transformative. Left there. And then I was getting interviewed on a lot of podcasts about spiritual intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was studying Dana Zohar's work quite a bit. She's a philosopher and a physicist that does a lot of work in the spiritual intelligence space. Mm-hmm. And then one day the SQ21 came across I really don't know how, I feel like it popped up. And so then, and then I became an SQ21.
Magic, you created magic.
And then, you know, I love being part of that community. And then all of a sudden, I think I saw Dr. Judy Neal post something and it said Edgewalker in her bio or something like that. And I was like, Edgewalker, you know, oh, okay, that's, yep, okay.
That
Judy, hi, my name's Amy. I need to be a part of this. And it just went on from there.
I need to know you. Yeah, I need to. Well, I kind of had the same thing. I was Googling. I started using the phrase walking the edges of communities. And I just one day Googled that phrase and edgewalkers.org came up. And I, mind blown, reached out to Judy in the same way. When I need to know you, you need to be a guest on my podcast, which is called What? The Edge of Every Day. So anyway, so I can trace so much back that's happening in my life. And Amy is a part of that too, this podcast and the Edgewalkers community. That's why I asked. I really like to reference that community as much as possible in all of my podcasts. So today, May 1st, happy May Day, Amy.
Thank you. Happy May Day.
Are we going to dance around some poles later today? It's also National Executive Coaching Day, which is so apropos Perfect. For you. Yeah. And it's Perfect. Global Love Day. Which isn't that every day, but I love that, you know, when you Google these things, it specifically has May 1st, Global Love Day.
Okay, we'll take it with Create Magic at Work, right?
Exactly. And Beltane, it is Beltane. And for those pagans out there, you know what that is. For you, non-pagans, it is a pagan holiday. It's between the spring equinox and the summer solstice. It celebrates the peak of spring. And it means specifically what they think that the word Beltane references is the fires of Bel. Bel likely referred to the Celtic sun god Belenus. Lighting the Beltane fires on the 1st of May was a symbolic move to recall the growing power of the sun and to cleanse the community of the dark months spent indoors. And I, in honor of Beltane, you're going to love this. I pulled this candle out for you, Ms. Amy. Modern Magic.
Oh, I love it. Oh my gosh, that looks like it came from Create Magic at Work or something.
I know, right? This is in your honor. Create Magic at Work candle. So you should have that in your merch. Growing merch.
Yes.
and I will definitely purchase one of those. Okay. So as I like to ask my guests, what identity do you lead with?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I know that this is your question. And I feel like this is such a deep question for me because this is kind of how Create Magic at Work was born. Mm. I used to lead with the corporate executive identity when I would walk into a room most of the time. I had a spiritual awakening in around 2015. And I was spiritual Amy at home and corporate Amy at work. And I was compartmentalizing those two things. And then when I attended the Berkeley Executive Coaching Institute, I really merged both of those things together. So the identity I lead with now, I feel like, is the corporate mystic, like combining those two things.
Like a together. Good edgewalker.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And it's a daily practice for all of us to try to show up in every room as who we feel we are authentically. And we don't get it right all the time. But I think that's what I lead with now is the corporate mystic. Yeah.
I love that. And I love that you said we don't get it right because we don't have to get it right. I mean, we're not embodied on this planet to get, quote, right. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
This constant expansion. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if we got it right, why would we incarnate?
Yeah, such a good reminder. Yeah, I tell my clients often, do it messy.
Yeah.
You know?
There's no such thing as perfection. Just dive right in. And I love that you also use the word compartmentalize. Mm-hmm. Because I think so many people are such a kind of a victim of like you have felt. And I know that I felt this way too. I very much kept, you know, I thought I was very much out with my spirituality, and people who knew me well would probably have said that I was that. But there was a part of me that felt that I was definitely compartmentalizing. And I just used that word when I was just recently back from India and I gave a presentation for Impactful Communication, which combines my work as an actor, actor skills, and as a director, all of those skills with emotional intelligence and spiritual intelligence. And I said in this presentation, I don't compartmentalize the three tracks that I have. anymore. At least I hope I don't, or I try to, what you said. I do my best every day to show up as all of those things and hopefully move through them seamlessly as needed.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's a little interesting. I've noticed if I look at myself, if I try to observe and have some self-awareness, I have found being in this space, it's a little hard to sit with small talk anymore.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. I kind of always, as an extroverted introvert, I was kind of that way all the time.
Yeah.
Like, just can thought there was something wrong with me as a young person. Like, yeah, it's really very difficult.
Yeah. How do you? I go right to the deep and I'm like, oh, wait, let me.
Yeah, I know. It could be like a little, wait, this is too much. Wait, Will Rogers, this does not compute. And you're like, oh, put on the brakes.
Exactly.
Oh, Amy, I so relate to that. That would be the story of our lives. But anyway, you mentioned, I'm going to jump ahead because you said this great thing in what you just shared, that you had the spiritual awakening. So that makes me want to jump to a question that I have. Like, what rough edge, what caused you to make this break? Was it your spiritual awakening that caused you to leave the corporate world that put you on the path to create magic at work?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me, tell me that story.
I mean, short answer would be yes. Longer answer would be, I think it led to that.
Mm.
I was in a place where I couldn't sustain who I was anymore. And that's really, really the truth of it today. As I look back, my creativity was being stifled, and I worked for a really overall measurably great company. I had great friends, great colleagues. I planned for a year on how I was going to leave my job because it really felt like a life purpose thing I needed to do. And the way that I planned was how do I want to leave this space? How do I want to leave my team feeling? I had a little over 400 employees. I was managing a $38 million profit and loss P&L a year. And I loved my team. But the things that we were doing were grueling. It was hardcore sales, publicly traded company. I was flying around all the time. One of the goals when I left my job was, I'm going to sleep in my same bed for 30 days in a row. That was, you know, like, I'm not going to be in a hotel. I'm not going to be on an airplane. And I'm so great. At the same time, I'm so appreciative for those times because I hardly travel at all anymore now.
Yeah.
And I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, how did I do that? But ultimately, my spiritual awakening, I had to start bringing it to work. I had to start bringing the activities I was doing in a faith neutral way to my team. And I wanted to prove that we could succeed in a win-win way where people could feel good, people could see the humanity in each other, and we can actually have productivity and profitability. I didn't want to leave that space and everyone say, oh yeah, well, she's like woo-woo, she couldn't hang, or, you know, those kinds of things. I'm competitive.
Well, yeah. Oh, yes, I can be deep and competitive and ambitious and in a very healthy and a connective, conscious way.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And I wanted to show, like, you don't have to be cutthroat and have unhealthy competition to hit your numbers.
Yeah.
Point blank. And I did. And I gathered all those activities I did with my team and I put them in my book. So if there, I always say I wrote my book, Create Magic at Work, for the beer drinking golf guys I used to work with.
I love that.
because they were, I mean, they were my friends. They still are my friends. They had the biggest hearts. They just needed a place to start. Yeah. And so they can grab it, flip to a page, and use it as a jumping off point if they want to do an activity. I had grown boiler room, like, salesmen doing, like, intention setting with flying wish paper and, like, crying. And it was just, I'm like, this is what I want to do. I want to leave, kind of figure out how I'm going to bring this back into the corporate space.
Yeah.
And that's how I re-injected myself back in with Create Magic at Work. It was not easy. It was not a linear path, and it still isn't. In fact, I used quite a bit of my retirement to invest in my company and in this belief.
Yeah.
So I could have gone off and done something different. And I often, when I have down days, I think about that. Like, I see my old colleagues, you know, C-suite this, that, and I'm here in the magic corner.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that's what I call this space here, the magic corner.
That's real. Oh, perfect.
Yeah. But it's where I'm supposed to be today.
Well, I so hear that. And as edgewalkers, we feel that way too. You know, when you're on the cutting edge and knowing that you have to lead the way and make the path, it is lonely. And I mean, I don't want to say, you know, ignorance is bliss is not what I mean, but the sense of, you know, it's not by accident that status quo is in the center of the circle and nice and comfy.
Yeah.
And that people who are in the magic corner, people who are edgewalkers, who are beaten down the path, it's not so comfy. It doesn't have all of the cushy comforts, and it is lonely, and people need to be educated and coaxed and made to feel safe. But and yet there's, for those of us who feel that that drum beating within our hearts, we've got to go for it. Ultimately those, if you went back to those creature comforts, you'd be like, you know, I want my magic corner.
Yeah.
I know, but it's like always the way, right? It's the edge of every day, the paradox. Mm-hmm. Oh, how do I find that balance for me? And to repeat what you said in a different instance, you just work at it every day, right? Some days are lovely and balanced, other days are ugly and messy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to jump back to, and we've touched on your book, which, by the way, I have here for those of you who are listening only. I have the copy, a signed copy by the author, into my camera. And I loved this book, this small but mighty book. So I have a quote here that I wanted to read and get your, you know, this is so appropriate for you. Business, the motor of our society, has the opportunity to be a new creative force on the planet, a force which could contribute to the well-being of many. For that to occur, we must all substantially increase our commitment to integrity and accountability and courageously make a quantum leap in consciousness. And to me, that's what Create Magic is. Create Magic is about creating a quantum leap in consciousness. And that's what you're doing. For those listening, that's Harman and Horman, 1990. So talk to me, what compelled you to, you touched on it, what compelled you to write this book?
Yeah. So the book is like, has the field tested activities that I used back in my corporate space, but with it's the spiritual intelligence activities.
Right.
And what's really funny is one of the activities in the book, well, let me go back a little bit. So I purposely made this book childlike and whimsical for people in the workplace that feel like they are at a soul-crushing job. I don't think it's a I don't think it's a coincidence that people use that phrase, I'm at a soul-crushing job.
Yeah.
And also for people that are even at a great place, but they want to connect more. They want to elevate. They want to take that quantum step, leap,
yeah,
into incorporating consciousness in the workplace. And so when you feel the book, my hope and intention was that you feel magic the minute you grab it. I purposely hired a Scholastic book editor to edit the book because I loved the Scholastic book fairs when I was a kid. I was always like hiding.
That's
And
brilliant. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's some of the magic that's injected into it. The other magical piece, there's three components, four, I guess, if you count me.
And let's do that.
Okay. The second component is an illustrator that I'm friends with who's very magical. So I put illustrations in it, which I thought was a bold move for a corporate book because I wanted that childlike, whimsical feel. So Maribel Martin did the magical illustrations. And then I, during the height of lockdown pandemic, had Chad Beckerman design the book, and he designed the Diary of a Wimpy Kid books. And so that's the childlike magic that I infuse in the book. And Chad and I collaborated while it's really cool thinking about it, looking back. You know, he was in lockdown in New York City and his place, and we were just meeting on Zoom, collaborating on the design. And we were kind of playing around with title, creating magic. There was all these lengthier titles, and we landed on Create Magic at Work. And the brand was born from there.
Yeah. And it's so great. And it's edgy enough to kind of make people go, oh, create magic at work. And yet it, and not edgy, and yet still invitational and childlike and all of the things. Yeah. I think it's so great.
Thank you.
And I love the exercises. I've checked out the exercises. And really, they're for anyone that is looking. Again, the focus is to connect people. These exercises are about getting people connected. And in business, the importance of the non-isolation, in a DEI world where people are breezing through DEI and not connecting. You've got some great exercises here that are really about sharing, about connecting in a deep, depth-filled way.
Yeah. One of the exercises in the book is on intention setting. And
which is a big part of the big approach.
Yeah. And I use flying wish paper. This is from Create Magic at Work, to do that, where you write your intentions on a tissue and you light it on fire and send it out into the universe, or you write down something you want to let go of, you light it on fire. So I would bring this to my team meetings. One time we had a really grueling quarterly business review. I would always end with something like this with my team, so they would leave feeling magical, feeling connected. And the power that comes from having the courage and the vulnerability to do an exercise like this in the workplace, you can't deny it.
No.
And it does come easy, a little easier for me because I'm into it. I love it. I could imagine some people like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? Like, I'm going to have everyone light this on fire. Like, you can't do this at work, you know, or and set an intention and send it out to the universe. But it's becoming a lot more, I think it's becoming a lot more, I don't know, a lot more prevalent in the workplace now. I feel like spirituality is the next wave.
Oh, completely.
And it just, to the power of it, I had a very diverse team. But at the same time, we were all working so hard. It was hard for us to really connect and see you. Like, oh, just like you, I'm sorry, just like me, you're trying to work through this. You're trying to avoid pain. You're trying to experience joy in life, you know, whatever that looks like. And one of the most profound moments I ever had with the Flying Wish paper was we had everyone gathered around after one of our, and this person's okay that I share this story. It's in my book. We had everyone gathered around after a meeting in a retreat that I had coordinated. And we were going around sharing what we were going to let go of, because it was a pretty tough one. And one of my members on my team had written that they were going to forgive their parents because they had came out when they were younger and had been kicked out of the home. And we held space for that team member. I'm going to cry. And it was like one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever been able to be a part of. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is where it's at.
Yeah.
And the rest of the team was just like, you know, like healthy silence for that person. And also we left that day, that night, that experience so much more connected.
Yeah. Well, and you're describing the power of ritual.
Yeah.
And there's no place where ritual doesn't work. That power of transformation, connection, and vulnerability of ritual. It's a go in any group. And the fact that we've disconnected it from our work blows my mind. That somehow it's only occasionally on a Sunday in a church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, it's all the time, anywhere.
Yeah. And I don't want to sound harsh by taking it to this next point, but I think it needs to go to this next point, which is we left with my attrition rates were amazing. You know, I had long time retention with my team. If you are a leader that operates from a spiritually intelligent space, you do increase productivity and profitability because people want to work for you. You will attract top talent. You will have time to do your own job, because we left that space and the rest of the people on my team were so connected. They call each other all the time. Hey, they know how to do their job more than I do. So instead of my phone blowing up, they were collaborating with each other. And I could do what I needed to do for them. And it's this whole beautiful, like I said in the very beginning, win-win. Like nobody has to lose in this.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Hardly a harsh point, my friend. And incredibly okay. necessary. I mean, no, wake up, wake up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had my listeners, if you're here because you know the podcast, you know that we've talked about spiritual intelligence and we've had Cindy Wigglesworth on here. So I'm not going to delve necessarily all that deeply into what that is. And people who are here to listen to you also understand what spiritual intelligence is. And I do real quickly. Because I heard this in one of your others and I loved it. What's the difference between how you chose to describe it? It was great and it was so quick and so insightful. The difference between emotional intelligence and spiritual intelligence. You gave this really succinct, wonderful way of understanding it that I want my listeners to know.
Oh, okay. I hope I can do it again.
Well, I'll help you along.
Yeah. So,
because I heard it. But.
Yeah. So emotional intelligence is like the I feel.
Yes. And?
Part, and spiritual intelligence is like the I am.
Yes. You got it. Okay. That's exactly what I was like. Yeah. I mean, there's, because I always tell people, you know, you need to be able to do things in six words, just six words. And I was like, and you came up with that phrase and I went, brilliant. I'm totally stealing that. I'm totally going to use those words to describe the difference between emotional intelligence and spiritual intelligence. Wonderful. So let's see, we have time for a couple more questions. So I want to make sure that I also talk about your deck. I love this deck too. Yay. Well, when you go and you listen to Amy Lynn Durham's Create Magic at Work podcast, she pulls these cards in her interviews. And so I wanted to do that with you, so I did it before, and you're going to love the card I pulled. It's right on top, waiting.
Oh my gosh. Are you serious?
I totally sat down. I got ready to go. I got myself all centered. I lit the candle. I thought about our conversation and my excitement in seeing you. And I pulled the magic card, folks.
Gosh, you made me cry again.
The words I speak create my world. What words can I speak to create harmony in my life? What are my clear goals for the next 4 weeks? That's the prompt that's on this particular card. Tell us quickly about these cards and how people can utilize them, not only in their work life, but also in their private life. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of our conversation, I'll ask you to give us some words that create our world.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No pressure.
Yeah. First off, I don't think I've ever had someone pull a card for me. So that was really special. I mean, you know, from the deck that I authored, like that was really cool. Thank you for thinking of that. I'm just super appreciative. That was amazing for me. The deck was born from the book. There's an activity in the book called Journaling with a Twist. And I think we were on second lockdown at the time. And I have deeply studied the tarot for probably a decade now. And I wanted to give everyone a tool that they could use in the workplace for their career to close their eyes, pull a card like you did for me, mm-hmm. and get a message meant for them and something to help tap into their inner wisdom. And that's where it came from. So I really just asked universe to give me 33 cards from the tarot that they wanted in this deck. And I took those 33 cards from the tarot and I authored different themes and affirmations from those cards. And then I used Mary Bell again to do the illustrations. So yeah,
that's fabulous.
Yeah.
They're beautiful. And
they're very simple illustrations, but they have deep symbolism in them because she's familiar mm-hmm. with the
tarot and all of them.
Yeah.
Well, and simple is potent, mm-hmm. absolutely potent. And we are trying to awaken and connect people at different levels of consciousness and awakening. So that's a good thing. Well, I'm thrilled to be the first to do that for you, my friend. And I'm thrilled that I got, you know, magic. I had to laugh on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yoo-hoo. Hello. Well, so I suppose the last question that we have to really time for, what rough edges are you seeing in leadership, in leaders, in people of in positions of quote unquote power as the landscape of leadership shifts? Mm-hmm. Have mentioned that you are really seeing the next wave as being a spiritual wave, and you know, people in our world are very familiar with a workplace spirituality, but you know, you're really out there in such a connected way. What are the shifts that you're seeing in 21st century leadership as it, you know, not only in connection, but again, I think connection's really at the heart of all of these rough edges and shifts. So mm-hmm. to you.
Yeah. There's a lot that I'm seeing that's interesting to me. One of the surprising shifts for me that I started to notice was, and this has actually been going on for a couple of years now, which is really encouraging, is that human resources in companies are actually I'm going to sound so sarcastic right now because I have that part of my personality.
Like, this is the edge of every day. Do it.
But they're actually be like holding up to the title of like human resources. That's been surprising to me, coming from the world I came from, where yes, the HR people that helped me were very helpful, but it wasn't their fault. It was more of the systems we were in where it was like, we just need to safeguard the entity from being sued. Was kind of, you know, was right. Kind of like the vibe of
was not necessarily about resources for humanity.
Exactly. And it's been really encouraging to see that it's changing in that way. And it's really becoming more and more what I was surprised, coming from the hardcore type sales team type mentality. You know, we kind of avoided HR, like, don't invite them to our party. Like, we want to have a good time. Like that kind of thing, you know? And most of the interest in Create Magic at Work and in my work is coming from that space. And I'm like, oh my gosh, here I was like the cool kid hiding from HR, and they're the biggest area of the workplace that has been attracted to Create Magic at Work. And that's been really cool, really cool. So that's one thing that I see. The other thing that's interesting is as this spiritual, this inner wisdom, this quantum leader space kind of opens up more and more in the workplace, my hope is that the systems that aren't working for people anymore just sort of die out.
Yeah.
Because it would make sense that we would choose to work for a quantum leader if we want to do work for the greater good.
Yes.
Versus a different type of leader that might be toxic. And so if we make those choices, if we empower ourselves to choose to work for a quantum leader that wants to make business decisions for the greater good, for where their decisions ripple out to communities, to the planet, to humanity as a whole, we can actually help with that systemic change with our choices.
Amen. It all begins within that connection to self, that self-awareness, which is in the number one foundational key to the landscape of leadership in the 21st century, not only for leaders, but for everyone.
Yeah. I do see a lot more of a light shined on the toxic workspace with people that are courageous enough to speak out. I think that's also a little more prevalent. So those are all of the things that I see kind of bubbling up. Have been for a while, right? When I first started Create Magic at Work.
And when was that? When did you create it?
In 2020. Yeah, very beginning of 2020, you know, 3 months before lockdown. It was like, super. I'm like, okay, so we're doing this.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I first, it was like, people were like, wait, what? How are you talking about that in the workplace? Like, what's the, every podcast interviewer that interviewed me would say, what's the pushback you get for this? That was like the most common question.
Of course.
But it seems like it's really being embraced now, which, here we are, you know, 4 years later, but
Well, and of course, as somebody who's not in that community, it wouldn't be my most pressing question to ask, what's the pushback? Because I mean, people like you and I have had pushback all our lives. So, back to that point of being an edgewalker, you know, if you're always intuiting what's coming down the pike and saying it out loud, then you're getting pushback constantly. So it's not necessarily, but the people in the center and the more of the status quo, they're the ones that are going to be concerned about the pushback, I would think.
Yeah. How is this going to affect me? Is this going to disrupt, you know,
the system? And the bottom line is I think, you know, I know you're correct. The systems are breaking down and mm-hmm. it's uncomfortable and messy and chaotic. But you know, rebirth and rebirth is a bit bloody.
Yeah. So,
a bit messy. Well, I have a million more questions for you, but of course, as is always the case, never enough time. And for those of you who want to connect and ask your own questions of Amy, you can go to her website. Tell us how everyone can find you, Amy.
Yeah, createmagicatwork.net is the best place to go. And also LinkedIn, just Amy Lynn Durham on LinkedIn. I'm doing a lot of fun stuff on LinkedIn. You know, as you mentioned, this can feel chaotic. The breaking down, the building of something new. That's really why I started Create Magic at Work, because this is deep inner work. And I wanted to bring some fun and some magic and some playfulness as we move through doing the deep inner work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So follow me on LinkedIn. I do all kinds of fun stuff there.
Well, I think those words are, I was going to ask you, the words I speak create my world. And you just said it.
Mm-hmm.
Playfulness, another Edgewalker quality, people. Playfulness. Mm-hmm. I talk about it in The Big Approach, the willingness to be playful, the willingness to role play, the power of that in the creating of new systems, in the learning process, in the expansion process, how important that is. Okay, so now we know where people can find you. We can find your book on your website. Is it at Amazon? What and other, you know, independent booksellers, and yeah. as well as your cards, all
yeah,
of those
if you,
things?
The book and the cards, you can get them. If you get them from the website, you get like a special magic package in the mail, and you'll get like the flying wish paper with it. So if you want all that, go to the website, because that's, you know, package from Create Magic at Work. Amazon,
yes, and you want that. You yeah, want Amazon, that.
Yeah. Amazon, you'll get the book in the mail. So your choice. Also, Creating Career Magic, the journal, is on Amazon, and it leads typically in the top rankings for business and stress. So I basically took the journal prompt cards and created a journal out of them. So if you want a place to write, you can get Creating Career Magic on Amazon.
Love that. Love journaling. And plenty of data out there, people, that supports the power of journaling in changing our consciousness. So, well, Amy Lynn, thank you so much for being on the edge of every day. It's been a complete and utter joy, as I expected.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And thank you for being such an amazing host and preparing all these beautiful moments for everyone to experience in our conversation. This was amazing. I'm just so grateful that we've connected, Sandra, and that we're friends. And I can't wait to see what's next. So thank you.
Oh, amen. Thank you so much, Amy. Ditto, 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 right back at you. And for those who are listening, you can find the old episodes of The Edge of Every Day, the original ones, 56 from Talk Radio. You can find them at my YouTube channel, Sandra Bargeman, on The Edge of Every Day. They are soon to be put back out on all of the platforms. They were on all of the platforms, and they are soon to be put all back out on all of the platforms again. Where we are now, you can find us on all iTunes and major platforms. And that's thanks to Amy Lynn Durham, who helped me to pump this out in a much bigger way. So be sure to share The Edge of Every Day with all of your friends and colleagues. And remember, until we speak again, you are always at the edge of the miraculous. Thanks for listening. Take good care. Hey there. Thanks for listening to me, Sandra Bargeman, and my inspirational guests on the edge of every day here at MaximizeU.life. Making the choice to park my podcast on MaximizeU.life has been a game changer. MaximizeU is an AI-powered technology platform to maximize your potential and propel transformation for a balanced, happier, and impactful life. It was a perfect fit. At MaximizeU.life, we ask, how can you alter your mindset, attitudes, and actions, and learn the fundamental values and perspectives to drive your growth? Customize your growth plan at MaximizeU.life to maximize impact and achieve your desired goals. Email us at coach@MaximizeU.life.
Pressure, pushing down on me, pressing down on you, no man has called.